The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the combination of joy and heartache that felt like it was in the field around the accelerating coronavirus cases and the vaccine that was available, and talked about the possibility of holding both that joy and that heartache together with a mind of balance, that it was possible. And after that class, the question came up, well, how, say a little more about that. Say a little bit more about how that's possible. And so that's really the topic of equanimity, how to cultivate equanimity, how to encourage the conditions that support equanimity. And after the events of yesterday, it felt like equanimity was a good topic for today. So that's my thought about what to talk about tonight. So just to start with a little bit about the quality of equanimity, what it is, some words, maybe different words than equanimity. Equanimity wasn't a word that I think I used very much before I started practicing Buddhism. So it's, it's an unusual word in some ways. Non-reactivity is maybe a word that's kind of in the terrain of equanimity, that when we can be with what's here, balance of mind, no matter what's happening in our experience, non-contentiousness with what's happening, spaciousness, ease with what's here, those kinds of words. It is connected with the fully opening to what has come to be. What is actually here. So there's a phrase in the text, the Pali phrase in the Buddhist teachings, yata bhuta, which is sometimes translated things as they actually are, something like that. But the literal translation is more something like things as they have come to be, so that it is a real acknowledgement or connection with what has already arisen, what has come to be. And the Buddha says one should know things as they have come to be. And so that takes, if we can know things as they have come to be, that takes a mind that is not resisting or holding on to what has come to be, that the mind that can really open to things as they have come to be is the mind of equanimity. And that takes a mind that's willing to kind of look without filters, look without reactivity at what is here. To me, equanimity, this quality of equanimity, is very much supported by understanding conditionality. And that phrase, what has come to be, kind of embeds conditionality in it. It is talking about what has arisen, and the kind of the implicit understanding there is that what has come to be in dependence on conditions. It's not random. It's related to our conditioning, our history. It's related to other conditions. It's not entirely about our own personal conditioning, what is here. It's also connected to things in the world. It's connected to the weather. It's connected. There's many different kinds of conditions unfolding. And what is here in this moment is a kind of confluence of many conditions coming together, including our own choices, our own history of conditioning. All of that is coming together to this moment. And so what has come to be, this moment's experience, the experience of this moment also includes how we are in this moment, how we are relating to this moment. And so it's not just the past kind of in the moment, it is the past plus how we are in this moment. And that, how we are in this moment may have the possibility of being available to, fully open to, this is what's here. This is what has come to be. When we are not fully open to that, when there is a kind of a resistance, so what has come to be, and I like to think of it this way, what has come to be is already here. Resisting what has come to be is futile because it's already here. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't, in the opening to what has come to be, opening to that, kind of acknowledging truthfully, well, this is what's here. When the mind can fully acknowledge and open this is what's here, then it can step into the next moment with wisdom, with compassion, with joy, with patience. And so the mind of equanimity, sometimes the word equanimity, some of those words, acceptance, ease with what is, spaciousness, impartiality, makes it sound like the mind of equanimity is not active, it's passive. They kind of can feel that way or sound that way. But what my understanding is that the mind of equanimity accepts fully what has come to be, but that mind of equanimity, free from greed, aversion, and delusion, clearly acknowledging what has come to be, has wisdom in it that can choose action that's skillful to step into the next moment. And that action, that skillful action, will be motivated not from greed, aversion, or delusion, but from compassion, from joy, from all of those qualities I just mentioned, patience, from wisdom. And so to me, the quality of equanimity is a freedom from the reactive qualities. And those reactive qualities, they take so much energy. They spin us inside. They kind of loop us into kind of like a whirlpool. And it's like there's so much energy in that whirlpool of greed, aversion, and delusion. We're trying to stay afloat in that whirlpool. And we don't have the bandwidth, really, in a way, to really meet what's here, to acknowledge it, and to have the wisdom to look at what is a skillful response. Equanimity frees up so much energy of that reactivity. There's a lot more energy to put into skillful action. So we're not like trying to use that energy to change the past. That's You know, that's part of the confusion of greed and aversion. You know, it kind of thinks that this is what's happening, and it kind of believes it needs to change the past. It's a funny kind of thing. And it can't change the past. We know that it can't change the past. And so we're not using that energy. Instead, we're meeting what's here. And that in that meeting, that kind of landing with what's here, the mindfulness and wisdom can choose a different response, not a habitual response. And so that's a little bit about the quality of equanimity. But, you know, just talking about the quality doesn't say much about how to cultivate it. You know, how is it possible to find our way to this quality? With the cultivation of the wholesome qualities in our practice, I was really taken at one point long ago when I was learning about the practice with Gil. One of the things he said has stuck with me all of these years, and it's like, well, in cultivating wholesome qualities, there's roughly two things you can do. You know, you can cultivate that wholesome quality, or you can study what's getting in the way of the wholesome quality. And that, you know, there's different things, different explorations with those two sides. But I think one of the main things, especially when we are struggling with something, when we're struggling with, like, how can I have equanimity with this? The practice is to look at, well, what is kind of blocking the equanimity? And can there be some opening to that? In the guided meditation, I mentioned that, you know, if there is resistance to what's here, can you be okay that the resistance is here? You know, we might think that what equanimity means is the resistance goes away. But there's can be like a bigger container in which the mind recognizes, oh, what's happening is that this is really hard. This is a painful experience, and the mind is just not wanting it to be here. That is what's happening. That's an acknowledgement of what has come to be. What has come to be is that there's unpleasantness and there is aversion. And so that acknowledgement, That can be, the mind can kind of expand a little bit to hold that aversion, and that's a step in the direction of equanimity. There's a big difference between being caught by that aversion, between, you know, like there's something happening and it's really hard, and the mind is in that, caught by that aversion, you know, like trying to push the thing away, trying to figure out how to get rid of the aversion, whatever it's doing. There's a difference between being caught by that aversion and between being aware of that aversion and recognizing the effect that the aversion has. And any kind of reactivity, you know, any kind of non-balance of mind, when the mind is caught by that kind of flailing, trying to figure out what to do, how to do it, and then the possibility of that the mind can recognize, well, what's happening right now is the mind is flailing. It's kind of flopping around like a fish out of water, trying to figure out what to do. And that can be acknowledged. That is essentially what we explore in mindfulness practice. Mindfulness practice, well, another way to phrase mindfulness practice is that it is a practice of equanimity. we are cultivating that capacity to meet what's here, to notice when there is a reactivity there and to see, can I hold that reactivity? Now, we do also in mindfulness practice, when we find that reactivity is kind of stronger than our capacity to hold it, when that reactivity is pulling us into it. You know, I've definitely in my practice, you know, found that aversion was stronger than my capacity to be mindful of it. Trying to be mindful of it, I just get sucked into the quicksand of the aversion. And if that is what's happening, that's not the time to try to say, oh, things as they are, let me just see if I can be with this aversion, because you just get sucked into it. So there are times where the practice of equanimity, of exploring that possibility of just holding things as they are, or as they have come to be, is not the most skillful thing to do, that we may have to bring in some antidotes or redirect the attention, maybe bring in some metta practice, things that we know help us to balance our mind again. But if there is the possibility of recognizing, oh, what's happening is there is this reactivity, this aversion, and the mind can hold that. So this takes some kind of discernment about what the mind is capable of in a moment, and whether, because often when we're aware of a reactivity, you know, it kind of feels bumpy, you know, it feels, you know, not like it's just smooth sailing with the practice. So when it feels bumpy like that, you know, sometimes it might feel like we're pulled in a little bit, but then we can be with it. And then we're pulled in a little bit and then we can be with it. Maybe it goes away for a little while, but then it comes back. It's got that kind of quality where it's not a smooth ride. But if it's what I roughly say for practice is, if it doesn't feel like that reactivity is growing, then there is some equanimity being cultivated. The mindfulness is strengthening and there is some equanimity being cultivated. So that takes some wisdom and it takes some practice to learn when we're in that space. And courage. That place takes courage to hang in there with that bumpy ride. And it may be that at times the courage flags a little bit, and maybe it's like, okay, I think I need a little bit of a break from this. I need to turn to something else for a little while. But just to point to that, this is one of the most important cultivators of equanimity is just our mindfulness practice. And so that mindfulness then can be supported, the equanimity of the mindfulness can be supported by some recollections or reflections. And one of the most potent recollections or reflections that support our mind in equanimity is to kind of remind ourselves that what has come to be is conditioned. I mentioned that a few minutes ago, maybe I mentioned that in the guided part, I don't remember, that if what has come to be, you know, sometimes we can come to that allowing or acceptance of what has come to be by just kind of remembering it's okay. This is conditioned. It's just what has come to be. And so sometimes using a kind of a little mental wisdom reminder, a wisdom reflection. This is conditioned. that in my experience, in terms of my internal experience, you know, kind of a reminding myself, whatever's arising, no self-hatred, right? Okay, yep, this is conditioned. That understanding of the conditioned nature of that self-hatred was so powerful in supporting my capacity to be able to hold it, to not be pulled into it, but to be able to be in that bumpy ride with it. To see it there sometimes, to see it go away sometimes. So that kind of reminding. And it was, you know, that it was, there was a kind of an understanding that came, oh, this is conditioned, you know, that, and partly that came through being with the experience, being in that bumpy ride, that there was the recognition of kind of the way in which that self-hatred was put together, a thought arising in my mind about something that had happened, and then seeing how the self-hatred was kind of picking that up and spinning it, and then seeing, oh, this is, so there was a kind of the recognition that it was being created in the mind. So that then, having seen that, I could kind of draw on that understanding at other times when I wasn't directly knowing that conditionality and just remind myself, yeah, I know this is conditioned. I've seen this conditioning. And that can create some space to really allow the mind to hold it a little bit. You know, the equanimity, I think it's also important to at least reflect a little bit on equanimity about the actions outside of us, equanimity around, you know, there's the equanimity that we can cultivate about our own experience. You know, what's, like I was just talking about, the self-hatred that was arising in my own experience and the painful nature of that, my personal experience. The mindfulness of the internal experience, cultivating that equanimity about this being's conditioning, basically. But then when we start to meet the conditions of the world, you know, the actions of others that create harm, or conditions in the world that seem just out of control and that I don't have much say in how they're unfolding, you know, that there's you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, a different way. It's not really different. It's just, it feels different. In some ways it feels less controllable or something. It feels less, it's not about me, you know, in some ways, but it's impacting me. And it's like, why is this fair that this is impacting me? Or, yeah. Again, I think it's important to recognize that the conditions of the world, so in terms of the external exploration, it's useful to remember that our internal experience is conditioned and the internal experience of everyone else is also conditioned. And so the choices that other people make are conditioned. We make unskillful choices internally sometimes, and that creates suffering inside of us and also ripples out and makes other people suffer at other times. Just this was a kind of an understanding that kind of supported my sense of equanimity too. It's just like seeing the level of suffering and the way my mind wanted to lash out and you know, seeing that internally. Just in one moment kind of like opened me up to saying, wow, and this is multiplied by like 8 billion, you know, 8 billion beings in the world with this stuff going on. No wonder it's such a mess out there. And that kind of can create some space for us to hold the chaos, the feeling of the chaos that sometimes seems like it's happening in the world. And so, you know, recognizing again in the world and also in the world that You know, there are also events that aren't necessarily about human conditioning, like earthquakes, for instance. You know, that, you know, they affect us. And the, there's certainly human conditioning and human choices that have been made to build tall buildings on earthquake zones. And that's, you know, that's got its own kind of conditioning and choices that we've made. But there's, you know, so to recognize that there's just so many conditions coming together to what's happening, that may allow a little bit of space for holding, to let the mind hold what's happening. And again, remembering that equanimity, the holding of what's happening, isn't doesn't necessarily mean non-action. When we see internally that, you know, the mind is all kind of torn up, frustrated, confused, flailing around, the opening to what's here, you know, the choice to be mindful, the choice to be present with what's here, is a wholesome choice that influences and affects the way future choices are made. And we can make different choices. We can see a choice arising, an intention arising that's not so helpful potentially, and choosing differently. So that is the possibility with equanimity, that we choose skillfully instead of choosing out of our habits. Instead of the habits kind of choosing our habits and patterns out of greed, aversion, and delusion, choosing what we do, when mindfulness and wisdom are present, skillful choices can be made. And in the world too, when we can meet experience with a little bit more balance of mind, a little bit more holding, that this is what's here. And coming back to what I started with, you know, this is what has come to be. If we can align ourselves with that truth, not denying it, not repressing it, not trying to wish it weren't here, not pretending it wasn't happening, but like, yes, this is what's happening. It's not pretty. It's kind of messy. But if we can kind of align with that, then there may be some wisdom available for, what is the response that this being feels called to make in this circumstance? So that the equanimity is a place where wisdom can inform action. That maybe is a good way to put what equanimity is. Equanimity is a place where wisdom can inform action, instead of greed, aversion, and delusion informing action. And so and yet it takes some willingness to open to what's here. And that can be scary, you know, that can be hard to open to what's here. It takes some willingness to do that. And some patience at times to find our way to that place. And, you know, there are times when choices have to be made quickly. Like yesterday, you know, the police in the Capitol building, you know, if they had to come to the place where they don't act except when they're completely balanced, you know, it's like, sometimes we have to act before we have that place. And we do the best we can. And we learn from the mistakes. We learn from the suffering that comes. But we do the best that we can. And we explore when we can, when we have the space, we explore the possibility of learning to meet what has come to be, learning to recognize our reactivity to that, noticing what's in the way. That's really one of the biggest skills, learning to know our reactivity to what has come to be. When we have the space to do that, we cultivate that so that that capacity is more available when decisions have to be made quickly.